as I have.
I
can do this as I can do. On this day, I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same again. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. This all-empowering Word work in my life and through my circumstances, and it shall forever be unto me a fountain of life, and I shall never thirst again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. Let's read the word of the Lord together. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But with Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs of Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and positioned a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out. There is much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Also, our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, whenever you turn, they will attack us. Therefore, I stationed some of the people around the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Look at somebody and say, don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Stand up and fight.
Stand up and fight.
Come on, don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Stand up and fight.
And fight until it's over.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Don't be afraid. Stand up and fight. And fight until it's over. Fight until you win. Fight until the enemy has to leave you
alone.
All right. Amen. That's a good fight. There are some fights that are good fights. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And one of the things that the people of God, one of the things that we need to know is that God wants us to fight.
Yes.
And that does not always mean taking up arms. There are many ways of fighting. Sometimes you can fight without fighting.
That's true.
But you need to know how to fight.
Yes.
What fighting really means is that you need to know how to engage the enemy.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. The enemy is going to come up against you.
Yeah.
And so you need to know how to fight the enemy, how to defend yourself, to engage the enemy in battle. God does not want us to be defeated. In fact, I don't even know anything called a defeated saint. Come on, somebody. You can't be a saint and be defeated. Are y'all with me? You can't be a believer in God, one who trusts in God, one who depends upon God, one who leans and depends upon Jesus, and be defeated. The mere fact that you are a child of God, the mere fact that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, the mere fact that you believe in the risen Savior means that you cannot be defeated.
Amen.
But unfortunately, so many of us in the church are unaware of this. We don't know it. And even if we say it is what we believe, our actions are not consistent with what we say. Because the very first time that the enemy comes against us, the very first time he laughs at us, talks about us, or says something sarcastic to us, we get distraught, we become distracted, we become depressed, and we are discouraged, and oftentimes we stop doing the very thing that God called us to do. In other words, we give up in the midst of the fight. But the truth be told, some of us don't even know how to fight, and so we give up before the fight ever starts, before the fight ever begins. We've already given up and thrown in the towel. Simply because the enemy showed up, we gave up. But I want to talk to somebody today that you are going to grit your teeth, that you are going to bow down, that you're going to stand firm in the faith and say, I don't care what the enemy throws at me. I don't care how dark the night becomes. I don't care how difficult it becomes. I don't care what mountains are in my way. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to tire out. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm going to stand and fight until I take my last breath.
All right.
Come on, somebody. You have to learn how to fight until you listen. You got to learn how to fight until all the fight is out of you. Come on, somebody. Listen, you got to leave it all on the table. You got to leave it all out there on the field. Listen, when you die, you heard me say it before, you want to die empty because you've given God all that you have.
All right.
Listen, some of us, we die with untapped potential. Without realizing our dream, with never getting to the place of our goal. We die without having ever really lived.
All right.
You got to fight sometime for the life that you live.
That's right.
Come on, somebody. The devil don't want you to live anyway. He don't want you to be here anyway. He's been trying to kill you from the moment you were born and came into this earth, but he can't do nothing about it because your time and your life is in the hands of God.
Amen.
So you got to understand, like the scripture says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If Christ is for you, and I hope to believe that he is, there's a whole lot of fight in you.
Amen.
And you don't have to be the biggest one on the block.
Amen.
To be the baddest one on
all
the block.
Right. Amen.
Some of the strongest people throughout history have been some of the smallest people in stature.
All right.
They just knew how to bring the fight.
All right.
You got to have a George Jefferson mentality. Come on, somebody. You might be the smallest one in the room, but you got the biggest fight in you.
Come on, right?
Some of the strongest people I've ever seen are little old grandmas. Are y'all with me? Listen, doesn't look like they're very strong. Doesn't look like they can bust a grape in a food fight. But if you come up against them, they got something on reserve that you are not even ready for. They'll knock you out before you even swing the first punch.
All right.
Because they learn how to fight.
All right.
Listen, fighting is not always taking up arms.
That's right.
Listen, the greatest fight is when you can go down on your knees in prayer.
All right. Come on.
Listen, y'all need to learn how to sick Jesus on some folk. Come on, somebody. You ought to say amen to that. Listen, you ought to tell the enemy, I guarantee you that I got a bigger dog in the fight.
All right.
Listen, in fact, he's not even a dog, he's a lion. He is the Lion of the King of Judah. Come on, somebody. My God is able, my God is strong. You listen, the one who stands with you is stronger than the one who stands against you.
All right.
And listen, it doesn't matter where the battlefield is. It doesn't matter where the fight is taking place. The fight can be on your job. The fight can be in your community. The fight can be in your state, in your city. Listen, it doesn't matter where the devil wants to get it on. You just need to let him know that you're bringing Jesus with you.
All right.
Because the devil will try to scare you and tell you, I'm going to take you out behind the woodshed. I'm going to get you in the alley. Listen, I'm going to find you and get you when nobody is around. And you need to let him know that Jesus is always with me.
All right.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why not? Because the Lord is with me.
Amen.
And if God is with me, I don't care who comes up against me. And so then, when you find yourself in the fight, and you will find yourself in the fight. Come on, y'all.
All right.
If you're living for Jesus.
All right.
Come on now. Right. If you're living for Jesus, if you're trying to do what God calls you to do, that there has to be an adversary that's going to come up against you. The devil ain't going to be happy whenever you're trying to do something for the Lord. The moment you make it up in your mind that I'm going to come to church more, that I'm going to pray more, that I'm going to live my life more for Christ, then all hell breaks loose in your life. Sickness comes into your life. Your appliances begin to break down. Folks start acting crazy. All kind of stuff start happening because the enemy is fighting you.
All right.
You got to be able to recognize the fight and see what the enemy is doing.
Amen.
Because he's trying to distract you.
Right.
In fact, he is your detractor. He doesn't want you to do what you have a heart to do for the Lord. And so here in the book of Nehemiah, the Bible says that Nehemiah had seen that the walls of Jerusalem had fallen, and he had a heart to rebuild the walls. I'm glad when there's somebody who has a purpose to do something for the kingdom of God. And so he purposed it in his heart to rebuild. But the moment that he purposed it in his heart to rebuild the wall, the enemy came against him. Because the enemy didn't want him to rebuild the wall. Just like when you purpose in your heart to do something for the Lord, the enemy will immediately come against you. Even something as seemingly as insignificant as far as being able to accomplish it, like getting on your knees and praying or reading your Bible. Have you noticed that when you say, I'm going to read the Bible, I'm going to pray, and you want to do it for any meaningful amount of time, you find yourself becoming sleepy? Come on, somebody.
All right.
How many of y'all have awakened on the ground because you were praying and you fell asleep? How many of you are reading your Bible and the next thing you know, you are waking up because you had fallen asleep reading your Bible? Because the enemy comes in to try to make you tired. You're too tired to read. You're too tired to pray. You've been working all day. And so you don't seem to have the strength. That's something, it seems like that would be a simple thing to do. But yet, it seems like it's so difficult even to have the time in the day to be. I'm talking about meaningful prayer. I'm not talking about right before you eat, you say, you know, God, thank you for the food I'm about to eat. I'm talking about not right when you go to bed, now let me sit myself to sleep. No, I'm talking about really getting into a prayer life and really, listen, really getting into a devotion period in your life. Seems like it's so difficult to do because there's so many other distractions out there. And so Nehemiah said, I'm going to build this wall. And even before we pick up in chapter 4, they had already began to build. And you need to understand that what happened was that Sanballat, Tobiah, the first thing that they did was laughed at them.
That's right.
When they said that they were going to build, they laughed at them. You can't do that. It'll never work. It'll never happen. And that's the same thing the enemy does to us today. He laughs at us. You say, I'm going to go back to school to get an education. He laughs at you. You're too old. You don't have the resources. Some of us, the laughter alone makes us quit.
All right.
Makes us give up. I'm going to write a book. He laughs at you. I'm going to start a business. He laughs at you. Whatever it is that you say you're going to do, I'm going to buy a new house. He laughs at you. I'm going to preach the word. He laughs at you. I'm going to witness. He laughs at you. Because he does not want you to do what God called you to do.
All right.
Some folk are so weak. I want you to hear me now. Some people are so weak spiritually that the enemy laughing at them stops them from doing what God called them to do.
Yes.
Shame on us if we give up simply because somebody laughed at us.
Amen.
Simply because somebody said that it could not be done. The Bible says that when they laughed at Nehemiah, Nehemiah just told the people to pray.
Yes.
Nehemiah was fighting.
Yes.
Because he was saying, while you are laughing at me, I'm talking to God.
All right.
While you're laughing at me, I'm getting myself positioned in God so that I can stand up against you. Go ahead on and laugh. Keep on laughing, but I'm going to keep on building.
All right.
And see, that's the fortitude, the spiritual fortitude right. that you have to have. I don't care if you're laughing at me or not. Keep on laughing. You ain't going to be laughing for long.
All right.
Because I'm going to keep on building. But watch this. After they saw that the wall was halfway up.
All right.
And they realized that the laughing was not working.
Right.
The mocking was not working. Mm-hmm. Then they tried to discourage them by saying, oh, even if you get the wall up, uh-huh. it's going to be so weak that if a fox run up on it, it's going to fall down. They were speaking sarcastically now to them and mocking what they were done. Even if you get the education, you're not going to get the job. Even if you get the job, you're never going to go nowhere in it. Even if you go somewhere in it, you ain't going to ever be able to accomplish anything. And so they were mocking them every step of the way. Because the enemy never stops with his intensity against you. He don't stop trying to knock down your door. He just go around the other side of the house.
All right. Amen.
Don't think just because you haven't heard from him that he went away. He's just trying to find another way in.
All right.
And so because the laughter did not work, now he starts to mock at you.
Yes.
And so what does Nehemiah do? He did the same thing that he did before. He told the people, keep on praying. And what am I telling you to do now? Whenever the enemy laughs at you, whenever the enemy mocks you, you keep on praying. You keep on trusting in the Lord.
Amen.
But watch what happens. Nehemiah kept on building. And the Bible says, we read it, that Sanballat became very angry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
See, when the enemy realizes that what he's trying to do
not working.
Is not working, then his laughing
all right.
becomes anger.
Yes.
And now he wants to physically stop you from doing what God called you to do. Because the Bible said that they said to Nehemiah, we're going to come in among you. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be right there beside you. And we're going to attack you and kill you so that you cannot complete the building of the wall. And watch this. Nehemiah's going to make a transition from just praying to now being ready to fight. Because Nehemiah says to the people, he doesn't say just pray. Before he'd been saying pray. Now he says watch as well. As pray.
All right.
Take swords in your hand and a hammer in the other hand.
All right.
And with one hand build and with the other hand be prepared to fight.
All right.
What am I trying to say to you? You have to learn how to fight. Sometimes praying is all you need. But sometimes after you have prayed, you need to get down in the middle of the situation and say, God, strengthen me physically, strengthen my mind, strengthen my body, so no matter what I got to go through, I'm able to go through it and come out of this thing.
Amen.
Unless the thing try to kill you. In other words, you got to let the enemy know that you can't beat me in my mind, you can't beat me in my spirit, you can't beat me in my body. I'm going to win. It doesn't matter what you throw at me. I'm going to fight, and I'm going to fight until I got nothing left to fight. I will use every breath in my body, everything at my disposal, and I will go forth in the name of Jesus. In matter of fact, I won't run away from you, devil. I'll run to you because I'm running to you and against you in faith.
All right.
Nehemiah said, I don't care what we got to do, we are determined to build this wall.
Amen.
And I want to let you know something. When you get to that place of determination in your spirit,
right.
No matter what I got to do, I'm going to finish this class. No matter what I got to do, I'm going to get my education. No matter what I got to do, I'm going to get this business started. And it's going to be successful. No matter what we got to go through, we're going to build a church. No matter what I got to go through, my marriage is going to last. No matter what I got to go through, I'm going to raise some successful kids up in this house. No matter what the enemy throws my way,
right.
I'm going to maintain my way before
all
the
right.
Lord, and I will finish what God called me
all
to
right.
do.
All right.
I want you to understand, with that kind of determination, with that kind of spirit, with that kind of passion, listen, you don't have to be afraid of the devil. The devil needs to be afraid of you.
All right.
This is what Nehemiah was saying. So I just want to hit y'all with a few things real quick. These are some things you got to understand. That you got to expect detractors in your life.
All right.
You got to expect folk to laugh at you.
All right.
Come on, somebody.
Man.
Listen, sometimes when people laugh at me, I laugh right on with them. That sure was funny. Because I know right after we keep on laughing, I'm still be doing the same thing I was doing before they started laughing.
All right.
Come on, somebody.
All right.
I'm going to keep on doing it. Mm-hmm. Expect detractors. Listen, you just need to know how to identify them.
Right.
See, the problem with some of us, come on, y'all, and I'm going to get into something now. The problem with some of us is that we start dating the detractor.
All right.
We don't identify and recognize who the detractor is, so we hook up with the detractor. We start hanging out with the detractor. You got to be able to know who the detractor is
right.
and say, Lord, keep the detractor out of my way. Let me identify who the detractor is. Don't let me bind myself to the detractor. Let me stay away from the detractor.
Amen.
Some of y'all don't want to pray that because y'all like the jeans that the detractor was wearing. Y'all like the dress that the detractor was wearing. The detractor smelled good and perfume. And so y'all hung out with the detractor. You got to know who is for you. And who is against you? Let me share something with you. Be careful of folk that are always telling you what you cannot do.
All right.
What you cannot accomplish.
Negative.
That you are not smart.
Negative.
That you are not wise.
Negative.
That you didn't come from the right kind of family.
Negative.
Listen. Those are some suspicious folk.
Man.
Be careful of sneaky people. Come on,
right,
somebody.
Man.
Suspicious folk that, listen, can't ever tell you anything about anything good in your life or what you can accomplish in your life. They find every single excuse in the world for you to fail. You need to let them know, I got one good reason why I cannot fail, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Listen, we can go home on that right there. I don't care how many excuses that you have. I don't care how many reasons why you can tell me I'm not going to win. I'm not going to come out on top. But I've got one reason that I know I am going to win and I am going to be victorious. And his name is Jesus.
Amen.
Come on, y'all.
Yeah.
And so expect the tractors. Expect the tractors. Not only that, but watch this. Don't give them your time.
All right. Amen.
Don't give them. Listen, don't give them the time of day.
Amen.
Don't pay attention to them so much.
Amen.
Why are we listening to the detractors anyway?
Right.
Why are we allowing the detractors to influence what we do anyway? Listen, you ought to be discouraged if you go and ask the detractor what you need to do. Come on, y'all.
Right.
Some of us, we have dinner with the detractor and ask them, hey, what do I need to do? How can I change my life? You talk to somebody who's been divorced 5 times and ask them how to stay married, that's probably a problem.
All right.
Unless they're going to tell you the truth about what they did to
all
mess
right.
it up.
All right.
Come on, somebody.
All right.
Understand who it is you need to have a conversation with.
All right.
Stop allowing the detractors to speak into your mind and into your heart.
All right.
The Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it is the issue of life.
Yes.
Watch what happens. Listen, watch what gets into your spirit and into your mind. The true battlefield is in your mind.
Yes.
Oftentimes you fail because you lose confidence.
All right.
Because you stop believing that you can. How many businesses would have been started if people would have not believed what the enemy had to say? Okay, y'all don't know who the enemy is. Let me tell you who the enemy is. Oftentimes, the enemy is anonymous. What am I saying? Sometimes stuff gets filtered to you to suggest to you why you cannot do something, and you don't even really know where it came from.
All right.
Because they didn't listen. The person who said it didn't even sign their name to it. They weren't even willing to stand behind it. But you are listening to something that's filtered down to you to tell you you could not do something, and you don't even know where it originated.
All right.
Okay, you don't believe the anonymous. Okay, what about the they said folk? Oftentimes, they are your distractors. The they said folk. Why can't you do it? Because they said I couldn't. Why didn't you go? Because they said we shouldn't go. I like to say this. Never allow somebody to tell you no who does not have the authority to tell you yes. Y'all gonna pick that up in a minute. Listen, there have been a whole lot of things that I've done and I've accomplished because when somebody told me no, I refused to listen to them. I said, give me somebody that can tell me yes.
All right.
Are y'all with me?
Right.
Sometimes, listen, you just got to keep on fighting. Sometimes you lose because you give up too early.
Yes.
Soon as you feel like you lost your way. Sometimes, listen, the Bible says that we should live by the just shall live by faith. And sometimes when you're living by faith, it seems like you're losing your way. It doesn't seem like, listen, you're in the place that you're supposed to be. The place that you are doesn't seem like it's the most comfortable place that you can be. And so you start wondering, God, why am I in the wilderness? God, why am I in the desert? God, why am I having to deal with this situation? And why am I having to deal with that situation? Could it be that I need to go back? God is saying, no, don't go back. Grit your teeth and go forward.
All right.
Come on, somebody. Yeah. Listen, the Lord showed me this the other day. I told him on Wednesday night. God showed me this. I was in my house and God said, listen, that the day is the darkest right before the sunrise.
All right.
Come on, somebody. And so, listen, when it looks like you just can't see your way, when it looks like it's so dark, don't worry about it. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Listen, all you need is the morning to break. The old folk used to say it this way, the breaking of day. And that's what some of you all are waiting for right now. Don't give up because it's dark outside. The day is about to break.
All right, amen.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Day is about to break. That's why I like our national anthem, because it talks about that when the smoke cleared, that they were still standing holding the flag. Right. The banner was still there. Listen, when the smoke clears, when the dust settles, will there ain't be anybody in here still standing and holding up the bloodstained banner?
All right.
That's what it's all about.
Amen.
Devil, you tried everything you could to separate me from Jesus, but nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Height, death, evil, wickedness, the liar, hatred, nothing shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
All right.
I'm going to keep on holding up the bloodstained banner.
Amen.
We used to sing a song when I was a little boy. Right. Listen, I'm in the army of the Lord, and if I die, let me die in the army of the Lord.
Amen.
Do we got any soldiers in the house? Come on, somebody.
All right.
That you are willing to fight to the very end. You willing to fight to the death of the thing. That you willing to trust God. That you be like Job, though he slay me, yet shall I trust in him. I ain't gonna ever stop believing in the God that I serve.
Amen.
And you know what that means? That means that I'm never going to stop believing that God can make a change in my life.
All right, man.
Don't get discouraged. Keep on building the wall. Trust God. Not only that, when folk try to talk about you, try to belittle you, try to make you look bad, and I know sometimes we feel bad, we feel discouraged. People are comparing me to other people and saying what we have not done and what we don't have and all these things. You just trust God to protect your reputation.
Huh.
You trust God to keep your name pure and good.
All right.
Listen, because I noticed this. Whenever people put you up, sooner or later they're going to knock you down.
Take you out.
I'd rather for God to establish me than people put me up on a totem pole.
That's right.
Because it's a pedestal, rather. Because as soon as people put you up on a pedestal, they're going to find a way to knock the pedestal out from underneath you. So you got to let God establish your name.
Amen.
And listen, once your name is written in the book of life, it doesn't matter what folks say anyway.
That's right. Amen.
Come on, y'all.
Amen.
Amen. But keep your hands to the plow.
Yes.
Don't look back and don't become discouraged.
Yes.
Do like Nehemiah did. Nehemiah relied upon God. The Bible says the book of Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Rely upon God. But not only should you rely upon God, listen, Nehemiah was also wise enough to reinforce the weak points. Because where the enemy said he was going to come in, Nehemiah said, I need two over there, I need five over there, I need six over there.
Yeah.
In other words, Nehemiah was not taking it for granted that, listen, I'm just going to pray and then I don't have anything to do. I don't have any skin to put in this fight. And I'm going to say this to you right now, church. If you think you're going to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish and you don't put any skin in the fight, you're fooling yourself.
Amen.
Listen to me clearly. See, some of us think, listen, I'm going to do what God called me to do and I'm never going to have to do anything in the kingdom.
That's not
going to
work.
To put skin in a fight means that you need to be in the household of faith and you need to be ministering in the household of faith and helping somebody out in household of faith and serving in the household of faith. Listen, when you don't serve, it's like saying I'm fighting but not putting any skin in the fight.
All right.
You have to lean upon God, but get out there on the battlefield.
Yes.
You got to pray to God, but you need the sword in your hand and the shield in your hand.
Yes.
You got to be out there fighting.
Yes.
There is no victory to those who sit on the sidelines. Only to those who get out there on the battlefield.
Yes.
And encourage one another.
Yes.
Because watch this thing. Sometimes we can get low. Mm-hmm. I can be good for 50 weeks out of the year. But 2 weeks out of the year, I may not be at my best. Come on, somebody. I can feel real high. See, listen, a lot of times folk who are preachers, are pastors, are bishops, evangelists, spiritual folk, they want to make you think that they don't ever get down.
They do.
I can be up 6 days out of the week, and one day out of the week, I can feel a little depressed.
Uh-huh.
Come on, somebody. I can feel like, Lord, what's going on? And listen, you would have people around you who are sensitive enough in the spirit of God to say, brother, I see you getting to that end point. I see you getting around that place where you about to lose it. Come on back. Let me grab you. Let's go on back. Let's go sit down and have a cup of coffee. Let's go have a cup of tea. Let's go to lunch or something. Because I just want to speak into your life. You ain't got to call them all out or anything like that. You just need to be around them and say, hey, man, the Lord is still working. The Lord is still doing what he's doing. I'm still encouraging Jesus. Listen, when you are able to tell me how the Lord is blessing you, sometimes that's all the encouragement that I need.
All right. Uh-huh.
So learn how to reinforce one another.
Yes.
Because here's what the enemy does. The enemy says, well, you know, he's been talking about you. You know, she don't like you anyway. And so the enemy builds this resentment in the fellowship.
Oh, yeah.
You see what the devil said? He said, listen, he said to Nehemiah, they said that we're going to come in among you.
Uh-huh.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to start speaking some negativity among you and around you.
Uh-huh.
And that's still the same thing the enemy is doing today. He's going into churches all throughout this world and he's speaking negativity in the midst of the congregation. And some of us are so foolish that we listen to it.
All right. That's true.
You listen, you ought not let the devil talk about your brother in Christ.
Amen.
You ought not let the devil talk about your sister in Christ.
Amen.
You ought not let the devil put your pastor down.
Amen.
Listen, you ought not let the devil shame your leadership. The
Amen.
Moment the devil come in and start trying to talk about your people, you ought to say, listen, they're mine, and I'm going to pray for them and not talk about them.
All right.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
What kind of fool would I look like letting folk talk about my children and talk about my wife and talk about my family? That's nothing but a fool that sits around
Amen.
And does something like that. I don't care even if they are acting up. If you can't come in love and try to be an encouragement, get out of my way. I'd rather talk to somebody that I know that can chastise them in love than somebody that's going to just come around and ridicule and discourage and try to tear down and never have a heart to build up.
All right.
All right. Y'all need to stand. I'm getting ready to close. And I'm going to get in trouble with you. Listen, but you got to rebuild the wall.
All right.
You got to keep up the fight. And now I'm going to talk to the Fountain of Life Christian Center. Listen, there's some building that needs to go on around here. And don't be discouraged. Don't be depressed. I don't care who left. I don't care when they left. Listen, God is still for us. God is still here. God is still able. In fact, he's more than able. God can do exceedingly and abundantly above everything we ask, think, and even imagine. We just got to get in here and start building.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Listen, I need you on the wall. I need you, listen, with the sword of the Spirit in your hand on the wall. I need you praying on the wall. I need you studying the Word of God on the wall. I need you to encourage me on that wall.
Yes.
Get on the wall. Look at somebody say, get yourself on the wall.
Get yourself on the wall.
Come on, somebody. Get on the wall.
Get on the wall.
And get to working. Don't stop until the wall is built up completely. Yeah, some folk have laughed. All right, they laugh. So what? Let some folk have discouraged. So what? You're still here. You're still believing. Keep on trusting in God. I'd rather keep on trusting in God and die believing than die in unbelief. Fact, did you know the only thing that's going to send folk to hell? Sin ain't going to even send folk to hell. Did you know that? Sin don't send you to hell. What sends you to hell is unbelief. Unbelief is dangerous. Faithlessness is dangerous. When you stop believing and trusting in God, listen, that is a dangerous road to be on.
Yes.
You need to keep on trusting in God no matter how bad it looks. Never let anybody tell you to stop believing in Jesus.
Amen.
I don't care what all these different other religions and everything folk are talking about and trying to figure it out.
Oh, yes.
Listen, I'm going to live with Jesus and I'm going to die with Jesus to live again.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I'm going to live with him, die with him, and live again in him. For all eternity. Because the ball, listen, the wall that he's building now in you can never be shaken. Come on, somebody. Listen, when Jesus Christ is your foundation, you can never be moved. You're like a tree planted by the rivers of water that when the storm came, the tree did not move. Because Jesus is your foundation. He's with you. I'm telling you, he's with you. Listen, this week, I'm going to speak prophetically. Some of y'all, listen, the devil going to try to discourage you this week. You're going to get a bill, and you're going to say, Lord, I can't pay it. And he's going to try to discourage you. Somebody going to come along and say something negative to you. And you say, listen, I was already prepared for you. I was waiting on you. I was expecting you. Listen, great is he that is in me, that he. I'm going to keep on building. Listen, you just put that in your spirit this whole week. No matter what you go through, just say, I'm going to keep on building. I got my hammer in my hand. I'm going to keep on building.
Amen.
I'm going to keep on building. I'm going to keep on building. I'm going to keep on building. I'm building. I'm building. I'm building. I'm building. I'm building. And I can't wait to see the end product.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. I can't wait to see what God has in store. That's what's so awesome about it. that when you finally see it, listen, somebody wrote a song, when I get around Jesus, I don't know if I'm going to have enough strength to even praise him. I'm going to be so happy. I may not be able to say anything. I just might be silent because, listen, no words will be able to compare with the joy in my heart and in my spirit. Hallelujah. The wine and sung a song many years ago that said millions didn't make it, but I was one of the ones who did. How many are glad to be in the number? Come on, glad to be in the number. Come on, glad to be in the number. Come on to the altar. We're going to pray for you. Come on to the altar. You stand in the knees of Christ. Come on to the altar. Amen. Come on to the altar.